I would like, first of all, to thank all the organizer for inviting me last week to make a talk. And so I chose to speak about proper infiniteness and K1 injectivity. And I do apologize for those of you who were at Münster last July, where I already spoke about this kind of question, and here I'm going to try to make something more detailed. I'm going to study a more detailed version of this question, which were a bit already studied by Bruce Blackadder on Monday, if you remember. So, first of all, the first thing that I would like to do would be to define those objects before trying to study them. And so, well, I shall remember first a definition of the C-C algebra 2N generated by N partial isometry with orthogonal ranges, so satisfying this relation. Oh, there is a pointer. Satisfying this relation. And then what I can define for projection, I can study different properties for projection in C-C algebra. I will say that, first of all, the projection is infinite if it is equivalent, more fundamentally equivalent to a sub-projection, okay? And I would say that, and you have a usual convention where you say that it's finite if it's not infinite, and you say that it is properly infinite if you can find a unital embedding of tau 2 into the C-C algebra generated by P. And I would like to add a fourth definition, which was introduced by Bruce. Thank you. A bit in the same way among those definitions. Bruce was saying that the projection P the unital system algebra is A is, I will say that it is very full, if both P and 1 minus P are properly infinite projections. Okay, so we shall need a bit later that definition.
That's not the same definition right here. This is sort of what I call splitting.
Splitting project?
Splitting also requires they both be full. P and 1 minus 2 be full.
Oh.
So this is what I call splitting.
Splitting?
Yeah.
Okay. Here you have to call it splitting. Okay, thank you very much. Now, I will say that a unital C-C algebra is properly infinite if its unit is a properly infinite projection. Okay? And then I shall recall for further use the following proposition, which is essentially due to Joachim Kunt. Okay, if I do assume that there exists at least one full properly infinite projection P in my fixed algebra A, then I will add that for each element of K0 of A, I can find a properly infinite full projection Q, which represents this class, and I do have that. In that case, if I take two such projection P and Q, then I do have that the two projections are Murray Feynman equivalent, if and only if they have the same K0 class. Okay, now I want to study how, if I can deform this kind of projection, this kind of properly infinite projection. So I shall use the following definition, which is not due to Gennady Kasparov, but is using quite a lot of this kind of stuff in his work on Baumkorn conjecture. Okay, so the result is that if I am given a compact outer space X, then a little select algebra is said to be, a little C star algebra A is said to be a little, is said to be a little select algebra if I do have such a little momentum where by Z of A I mean the center of my C-star algebra A. Okay, well in that case for notation, for each little x in capital X I can define the two-side radial of function which vanish at that point little x, and I can define the fiber A lower X like this, and I denote by A lower X the image of an element of capital A in the fiber A lower X. Okay, in that case what I can notice is that the map X goes to norm of A lower X is a pair of semi-continuous. Why? Because it is the infimum of continuous function, continuous positive function, all those are continuous and positive. Then if I look at the infimum, it is a pair of semi-continuous. And now, one notation, well, one definition that I will need for later in the talk, I will say that the C of X algebra A is a continuous C of X algebra if I do have that for each element A in capital A, I do have that this function, which is upper semi-continuous, is actually continuous. Okay. Okay, now I want to use the stability and the deformation of the fact that I do have a projection which is properly infinite. More precisely, well, if I take a little continuous C of X algebra, then if I do have that A is properly infinite, okay, meaning that I have a map, a unital map from T2 to A, then when I push it, AX, which is the version of that C star algebra, that is also properly infinite. Then the question which was interesting me at some point was, conversely, can I say that testify that each fiber is properly finite, does it imply that the algebra of section A is itself properly infinite? And what I have is that if I have a fiber which is properly infinite, then you can find a neighborhood, a close neighborhood of the point X such that the restriction of A to F is properly infinite. What is AF? Okay, well, I think that, well, it was already defined by several people. It is... It is the quotient of A by the closed hyperbola. What I do have is that if I do have one fiber which is properly infinite, then I know that in a neighborhood it's also properly infinite, and I even have that relation. So, in order to study the question Q1, I'm led to look at these diagrams that I will need later on. So I draw a picture in order to remember it. Okay, I assume that D is a pullback of 2 sigma. I can look at the following question. So it is a case where I have this. It is natural to ask the question, okay, is that pullback, is that pullback also properly infinite if I do have that D1 and D2 are properly infinite? Okay, and what I say is that I do have that if I have a positive answer to that question, is that question always have a positive answer, then can prove Q1. Then I will, this will imply that Q1 also always have a positive answer. How do I see it? Okay, in order to see it, what I do is that, okay, I assume that I do have 2 unit star homomorphism from T3 to D1 and D2. Then I can define this element, which happened to be a partial isometric in the quotient D, and it satisfies the following relation for each J people want to.
One, two.
One or two.
P2.
If I have a map from T3, in that case, I only look at the two first ones. Okay, I assume that I have some map from T3. Yes. If I have T2, then I can also, well, T2, if I have a map from T2 to P1, then I have a map for also from TN, TK, TK to the system algebra D for any K larger than 2 in that case. Okay, well, it's what I do. Okay, if I had H2, which were giving me a map from T2 to for instance. I have a map from D, a digital map. Well, then I set UI D1 and I could do, for instance, okay, U2 for this, U2 for S1, no. I don't know whether I can check my... Okay, if I have a map from T2, a useful map from T2 to D, sending the generator, okay. How about I generating the generator? Okay, I'm generating SR goes to sigma of SI. Then I define a map from T3 sigma tilde to D by sending this one goes to sigma of S1, S2 goes to sigma of H2 and sending S3 goes to sigma of H2 S1. Yeah? So once it's for any TN for with N larger than 2, which is always possible. Okay, well, then what I was saying is that if I have map from T3 to the 1, okay, sigma 1 and sigma 2. I can define this partial isometry, and then the question is that whether I can extend it. And as a matter of fact, what you have is that under, okay, technical condition, if you have, if I do have this property for the two projections, okay, V is a partial isometry, okay, and I'm looking when I can extend it to a unitary U in V. And this, it is possible to find such an extension, okay, but here what I say is that V is a restoration of U, and I can also assume that U equals 0 is of class 0, is as the same type class as the identity in K1 of B. So, when I look at my diagram here, this is a curve. Then, if I can extend the projection. No, sorry, in the partial isometry, which was indeed, if I can extend it here to a unitary in D2, in that case, I can define a new sigma prime 2 by this formula. And what I do have is that, in that case, I do have that. Okay, thanks to this formula, this is really a morphism, a unital stellar homomorphism from T2 to D. And so, in that case, I am able to define a morphism from T2 to D, and meaning there are homomorphisms from T2, from T3 to D1 and D2, and if I do this, then I can define a star homomorphism from T2 to D. Okay, I am able to leave from T2 to D1 and D2 up to a small change. Okay, but the problem is that I don't know whether there is always such a lifting W. Okay, all that we know is the following results that we proved with Randy Roder and Michael Roland, which is that if I do have a unitary U and a projection P such which satisfies those three relations, where here it's not very full but it is splitting that I wanted. Okay, so if P is splitting that relation, then I do have that U belongs to the connected component of 1 inside the unitary group of the C-algebra B. Okay, so what I do have is that under the assumption here, if I do have such a commutative diagram where here I have a few more pieces, I can define tissue to be U and to be and self projection, which is splitting. And so by this schema, I will add that U theta is a connected component of the identity, and so I can, if it's a connected component of the identity, then I can lift it to a unitary W. Okay, just because I am interconnected component of the identity. And so, well, this, the result is that this implies that M2 of D is a properly infinite unital system algebra. For this, I will add for sure. And so, well, the result is that by induction, I will always be able to find an integer n bigger than 1, strictly positive integer n, such that n 2 power n of a is properly infinite. And so this implies, the question is that can I always assume n equals 0? Okay. Now, another thing that I was using was to... another object that I was defining was K1 injectivity. So I recall you quickly for those who do not know those kind of stuff. Well, I do have, inside the unitary group, I do have the connected component of the identity, and K1 is the inductive limit of this quotient, where I do have each un of v embedded in un plus 1 of v by the map that I gave, that I described here. Okay. Then I do have a proposition due to which was originally proved by Joachim Kunz, which is that the map from U of B to K1 of B is always surjective if B is a unital properly infinite system algebra. And then I have the following question, which is whether all unital properly infinite system algebra are K1 injective. Okay. Well, I did not say, I did not define here what is K1 to be K1 injective is to say that this map here, I do have a map. U of B to K1 of B, and it is the identity of the connected component of the identity. So I have such a map, and I say that it is K1 injective if this map, which is always surjective, is also injective. Well, no. I have always a map like this, which is well defined, and I say that it is K1 injective if this map is injective. I say that it is always surjective. It is always surjective in the case the system algebra is properly infinite. Okay, now what I do have is that if the system algebra B is K1 injective in this diagram, I will be able to leave
We'll be them from, as we be able to define and multi them from T2 into D, and so D will be
K1, will be properly insulated. Okay, then what I do is that if I do take a unitary V in a system algebra B, which is properly infinite, such that I have this relation, which always happens, which means, as a result, it means that the class of V is 0 in K1 of B, then I do have in that case such a possible homotopy among unitary of M2 of B, okay, as is written there, and in that case I will add that I will have the following equality, and so I will have that. In that case, well, if I do have that P is this unitary, then it is always stably equivalent to this projection. Well, if P is this projection, it is always stably equivalent to that other projection. But in order to say that in order to have a K1 injectivity result, I would need that those two projections P and this projection P, I would need that those are equivalent of in this system algebra, which is a quotient of C of 0, 1 with values in M2 of E. Okay, I will have that C, P. The result that I have is that I will have that the following equivalent, I will have that, as a matter of fact, what I was looking for was whether if I do have this relation, if I do have such a homotopy, meaning that if V is of class 0 in K1 of V, I will have that V is unitary homotopic to one if and only if and only if that projection P is properly infinite. And therefore, as I do have here that each fiber of this hereditary subalgebra is isomorphic to B, which is supposed to be properly infinite, I do have that. I do have that Q1 implies Q3, where Q1, I recall you that Q1 is that, okay, if I do have a unitary continuous field where each fiber is properly infinite. Here, each fiber
This is algebra in the algebra of A to B, which is supposed to be properly infinite. So its fiber is properly infinite. If I do algebra, in that case, I do algebra. This system algebra is properly infinite, meaning that P is properly infinite here. This is equivalent to saying that I do have position 3. I do have that Q1 also implies condition conjecture question 2-3. Okay. To finish, I would look at a universal example, which is that if I look at the universal fixed algebra of function from 0, 1 to the full fluid product of O2 with O2, such that at 0 it is in the image of the first copy of O infinity, and at 1 it is in the second image of O infinity, then I do have that if the algebra A is properly infinite, if and only, you can prove that to have that this if the algebra is properly infinite, this is equivalent to saying that any pullback of properly infinite if the algebra is itself properly infinite, and well, you have all those conditions B, C, D, E, which are equivalent, okay, meaning that here I do not assume that X, I do not need to assume to look at X, I do not have to assume that X is finite dimensional or anything like this. I do have a universal example. If this one is properly infinite, I will have that any unital continuous C of X algebra with properly infinite fibers is itself properly infinite. So, to end, I will only make a few remarks about what I know for the moment, what is known for the moment. Okay, well, you have been working at it with Randy Roder and Michael Roder. Okay, what you have is that Joachim Kunz proved what this is, what he needed. What he needed is that whenever you take a purely infinite C-star algebra, a purely infinite simple C-star algebra, then it is always K1 injective, and you will also have that, okay, when you try to, when you have a continuous family, when you have a continuous C-star bundle, which is unital, and such that each fiber is properly infinite, the question is that is the algebra of section itself properly infinite? What I can say is that, what we can say is that if you look at the contractible compact outer space, and you look at the projection in C of X with values in B, you will add the equivalent, which is that if you take a point, if you choose a point X in capital X, then you will have that P is properly infinite if and only if the image in the fiber D in the fiber of this continuous sphere of the hereditary C-star algebra generated by P. Okay. So P lower X0
is properly infinite. So I will only have to look at one point, the image of P.
In one fiber.
Okay. But I do not know in general whether I have equivalence between, I do not know, well in that, so this imperative picture, that if I look at the hereditary subalgebra generated by P, so P is sub X with values in D, P, well, this is properly infinite, if and only if I do have that this projection is properly infinite. So if I do have at one point it is properly infinite, then it is properly infinite at any point, and even have that P itself is properly infinite. But I do not know what happened. Well, we do not know yet what happened in general. I'm pretty skeptical in trying to look for a counterexample. Bruce also showed you several attempts to find counterexample, but we still do not have any written counterexample. Okay.